Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. You may hear Island Issues every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And we post the podcasts of Island Issues online, so you may listen anytime to the most current and to previous interviews. And that's at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today, we are in part two of our conversation with Dan Brinkman. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Hilo Medical Center. This is the final of our interviews about Hawaii Islands hospitals. We had 2 weeks with Jay Cruiser of Kona Community Hospital, 2 weeks with Cindy Kamakawa of North Hawaii Community Hospital, and Art Ushijima of Queens Medical Center. And it's been an interesting look at how very different the hospitals are, their populations, their approaches, their financials, their look at the future. Now let's get to the continuation of our conversation with Dan Brinkman of Hilo Medical Center. You know, you've talked about we have a doctor, we've hired a doctor, we're recruiting a doctor, and that brings us back to the issue of physician recruitment, because we all know that we do not have enough doctors in the state, and certainly not enough on Hawaii Island. Kona Community Hospital has taken to hiring doctors. They put them in their affiliate, Ali'i Health Center. North Hawaii Community Hospital is doing the same. Talk about what you are doing here at Hilo Medical Center to recruit and retain physicians. And are these all employees of Hilo Medical Center? Are they coming in and forming their own independent practices? Give us a look at how physician recruitment is going and how you do it here.
Physician recruitment is a big piece of not only the work, but we also feel of the mission. You can't deliver health care without qualified physicians. And for us, most of our involvement in providing that service has been in the area of specialty physicians. They're very expensive to bring in and to set up for their equipment, the support that they need. And it's a little out of the scope of a smaller group of physicians, community-based, to afford that. Also, a lot of the younger physicians coming out of school these days are looking for some type of employment arrangement, whether they're in a very large group or working for a hospital or some other type of larger business entity. So we realize that is the wave of the future, and we felt like that we need to get good at it. And you ask how we recruit. Honestly, on a neighbor island, there's a bit of an art to that. One of the basics, though, always, you have to pay fair market. If you not only want to try to bring a physician into an area where they likely won't make as much money as the big city, and then you tell them that you're going to pay them even less, you could probably forget about it. You don't necessarily have to pay exorbitant amounts, but you have to pay a fair compensation for a physician who's put in years of work and honestly has probably a lot of student loans and other requirements that we would all have. If we do that, then the next thing we sell is our beautiful island. That, though, only works for a certain type of individual. Some of us are more city-oriented, and some of us are big fans of the outdoor. Some love rural environments and lower key environment and no traffic. But on the other hand, you know, there's no opera here and there's only one mall. So it's not city living. So we have to find people who really love what we have to offer. And I think also importantly, their significant other has to also fit within the community. So how we make all that happen, it really is an art, and there's a little luck, and there's also a lot of participation from the other physicians who work here. Because I think that when they see other physicians thriving here and loving it here, they see that that's possible for them and it works. So that's part of the kind of the package we put together to recruit specialists here into Hilo.
And so they're actually employees of Hilo Medical Center?
Yes, they are.
Well, I hope you introduce them to groups like Hilo Community Players and the performances at UH Hilo Performing Arts, because we get first-rate entertainment here. Not opera so much, but, you know, the other stuff, yeah.
We do a lot to connect them to the community and build a support network around them. You know, as much as we do, I guess, the sell of what makes our community great, we also are very, in some ways, almost send people two messages. Don't come here thinking that this is the Hawaii you vacation in. It's not good for either one of us, because it's disappointing to them after they come for a while, and it's not. And it's disappointing and expensive for us as well, not to mention it breaks a lot of patient relationships. So we sell what we know we can follow through with, and we also tell people really in exhaustive detail what we're not. And we found that that honesty in general makes for much better recruitment.
Hilo Medical Center has a physician residency program, I believe.
Yes, and that is our primary mechanism to address the primary care needs of not only this island, but hopefully the neighbor islands and Oahu as well. The program is set up as the HHSC, Hawaii Island Family Residency Program, with the intent as the program matures that it becomes a feeder for all the rural areas of Hawaii. You know, there's a lot of studies out there that show the last stop of where a physician trains is often where they practice. And we've seen some of that with our first graduating class of three docs who are all staying on this island. We are looking at the other three classes we currently have in process, and a number of those docs have expressed interest in staying working in Hawaii. It's been a substantial investment and a lot of work, but I think it will pay off long term. I don't want to ever be complacent, but I think that we are now out of the startup stage, and we're starting to move into the more the stabilization of hopefully an institution that'll be around as long as the hospital's around.
Okay, so when we talk about a residency program, I believe that means that the doctors involved have actually graduated from medical school and they are actually doctors, but they need to complete certain requirements. Give us a little more on the residency program. Are these folks who are still students? They come in? Do they work with other doctors? Tell us more about it.
You're correct. The residents, as we call them, they are doctors. They have finished medical school and graduated. The normal process in educating a doctor is after medical school, they pick a specialty, and then they spend anywhere from 3 years to 15 years, believe it or not, specializing in the field they ultimately want to practice in. Our physicians, our medical students, join a family practice residency, which is 3 years, which has a very much a rural focus. Most all of them plan to practice in a rural type area. That's why they came in the first place. And at the end of the 3 years, they pretty much would have been exposed to almost all that you'll see from soup to nuts in a rural practice. Occasionally, we'll have one of the residents do another year, say, in obstetrics because they want to get more practice, say, delivering babies, or I've even had some in emergency medicine, they'll do a 1 year so they can be more familiar if they're working kind of out in a rural area where they have to practice some emergency type medicine, they want to be more skilled, they'll do an additional year or two in that field.
And I understand the residency clinic right now is not on site here, but that it will be on site here at Hilo Medical Center. I believe that was one of the construction zones I passed through today.
That's correct. Currently, they're a few miles away in a space that we lease. The goal was to bring them back on campus. We've developed an 8,000 square foot large clinic with 23 exam rooms and a lot of infrastructure that would make it a great clinic. We're excited about getting the whole residency program into that space, and it should be open here in March of 2018.
And the residency clinic, do I understand correctly that if somebody just needs a primary care doctor, this could serve as their primary care doctor, so it's open to anybody?
Absolutely. One of the great things about a residency program and its associated clinic is it brings doctors to the community. Not only are they learning, they're also delivering health care, and the faculty that teaches them also delivers health care. They have about 3,300 patients on their panel that are part of, you know, who would say, oh, where do you get your primary care? Oh, this Hawaii Island Family Clinic. And we are growing right now at about 10 to 12% a year, and we're welcoming new patients. And honestly, we have a good deal of capacity to grow, and we hope we can be part of the primary care solution for our community.
You know, one thing that you're telling me that I've heard also from Jay Cruiser at Kona Community Hospital and also from Cindy Kamakawa from North Hawaii Community Hospital is everybody hears that we do not have enough physicians, but I think people aren't hearing the rest of the story that all three of you have been actively recruiting doctors. And when you say you have capacity, that means people who say in East Hawaii, I do not have a primary care physician, they can get a primary care physician if they go to the residency clinic.
The short answer to that is absolutely. Now, in private healthcare, it's a business. And The difference with the clinic and some of our private practices is that we pretty much take all comers. And very understandably, a private practice has to balance their, I guess, paying and non-paying patients to make sure they can stay viable as a business and pay their bills. As a taxpayer-supported institution, we're able to take everyone. And I think that served to meet a need in the community for all the community members who need primary care. So between ourselves, entities like Bay Clinic and others, we care for members of the community regardless of their resources.
I want to move back into just the basic hospital setting. One of the big concerns nationwide is antibiotic-resistant infections, things like MRSA and other even more serious antibiotic-resistant infections that have been found now. What kind of antibiotic-resistant infections are present at Hilo Medical Center? How many do you get in a year? How do you address the issue? How do you make sure that infections do not spread? Give us the primer on what you do hear about such infections, which are extremely common in a hospital setting, although I would like to note that the National Institutes of Health said that they are reducing year after year because of the attention that all hospitals are paying. So tell us about Hilo Medical Center.
We have the three most common drug-resistant infections in our facility: MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph aureus. Like everyone wanted to know that. VRE, which is another type of antibiotic-resistant infection. And then C. difficile, which has kind of come up more recently as a problem. Basically, it's an organism that causes really bad diarrhea and dehydration. All of those are related to or can be triggered by antibiotics or overuse of them. We have had three MRSA cases, one VRE case, and four or five C. difficile cases from August of 16 through August of 17. But what does that mean? Basically, we have 0.2 per 1,000 patient days. And the national average is 9.3 per 1,000. So we are doing exceptionally well. And a part of that is we have a great infection control team. And we've really been working on antibiotic-resistant organism for almost 7 years, way before it was, I guess, in vogue. Dr. Martell, our pharmacy director, and others were kind of on this. And we have a great infection control specialist that's put in place a lot of precautions. So if you come into the emergency room, we keep a database for people who've been here before that have tested positive. So you trigger, and then what we do is we put that person on precautions until we run a culture to see if they actually have the infection or not. And if they do, we go through a process of not only precautions, but isolation. Not as bad as it sounds, but people wear protective gear so they don't transmit that infection to anyone else. When someone comes in with an infection, we culture very quickly to find out exactly what bacteria they have, and then give them the antibiotic that's suited for that bacteria. We can be very selective about what's used to treat the infection and not worsen that antibiotic resistance.
Thank you. Dan, I recently read that there's a new nonprofit organization in East Hawaii that is trying to recruit physicians, but I'm not really clear on whether it's related to Hilo Medical Center. Give us a short little bit about that.
Hilo Medical Center is not directly involved in this particular outreach to bring, in this case, internal medicine residents into the community to work with and eventually, I think, become internal medicine docs in the community. Three or four of our long-term doctors in the community, Dr. Jung Tatsuno Uehara and I think Rodney Ono, put together a nonprofit and work with the county to get some funding together to help sponsor residents from the John A. Burns School of Medicine to come to do a few months in their offices to see what it's like to practice in Hilo. The goal, of course, is to create a bind and a tie and kind of dispel perhaps some of the myths of what it's like to practice in a rural environment. And we're very excited about their prospects.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. We are in the middle of our final conversation with Dan Brinkman, Chief Executive Officer of Hilo Medical Center, which is the last in a series of interviews about our island's hospitals. You may go online to hear the podcast of our conversations with Jay Cruiser, CEO of Kona Community Hospital, Cindy Kamakawa, CEO of North Hawaii Community Hospital, and Art Ushijima of Queens Medical Center. The podcasts are at lava105.com. 53.com. and at coacountry1077.com. Next week, we go into something entirely different, Mauna Kea, and the Office of Mauna Kea Management, which is a UH Hilo institution tasked with stewarding the portion of Mauna Kea that is under the control of UH Hilo. That's next Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Coa Country, 107.7 FM, at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM, and then, of course, posted as a podcast. Let's get back to our conversation about Hilo Medical Center. Dan Brinkman, tell us about anything else you're doing to improve Hilo Medical Center before we get into the financial aspects.
Well, of course, I'm glad that you asked that question. you know, we've done many, many things over the years, our team, to make this hospital much better. We hear that a lot. Oh, the hospital's gotten better. It's a good place to go for your care. Honestly, we're not satisfied with that. We think it should be a great hospital. I always believe if you strive for greatness, at the minimum, you're going to have good, right? So we have this program we've started here that's going to run the next 3 or 4 years. We call it the Go Malama program. And Malama means care, and it emphasizes it's a verb. You got to do something. It's a very comprehensive approach to do three things: to improve our employee satisfaction, to improve our physician satisfaction, and to improve our patient satisfaction. And if you put all three of those things together and you do them well, you'll have a great hospital. There are many different investments in your employees, in your physicians, and in how you serve your patients that if you do comprehensively with every department and every employee, you do it all the time, I believe you'll get a great hospital. And I think our community deserves that. And I feel like we've laid a good foundation to not look to just be okay, but to actually be really a top-notch place to get your care. And I think all our employees, or I would say most all of our employees, believe that we can do that regardless if we're on a neighbor island. We're very excited about it. We've adopted a strategy that's been used in a number of hospitals on the mainland and kind of adjusted it for our island culture. And we are slowly implementing this and making it part of the routines of what we do every day, from how we speak to our patients consistently, from the admitting clerk to the doctor, to the admissions, to the nurse who discharges you. There is a best way to do that. We're looking at how we treat our employees. Our managers are getting extensive training on how to be not just an okay manager, but a great boss, because then that turns around and translates into employees who are really engaged and want to do the right thing when nobody's looking. We're excited about that.
You are part of the Hawaii Health Systems Corporation, and I know that your employees, therefore, are union employees. Do you get any pushback from trying to completely transform the way they do business?
I think the short answer is we have intentionally made the choice to view our unions as our partners. And I don't say that just from a business perspective, but as coming to understand our island culture and why we have unions, and the fact that most all our union members and our union leaders are the same people that live in this community that come here for their care. I found them to be very open to ways to improve this hospital, because we all live in the same very confined space on an island. And if this hospital improves and we do a good job caring for our employees, everybody wins. That doesn't mean that we agree on everything, but I think we agree on the mission, and hopefully the relationship will continue to be a positive one.
Okay, financials. Hilo Medical Center. One of the issues with the Hawaii Health Systems Corporation hospitals has been that they have not been profitable in many cases. How is Hilo Medical Center doing?
I think we're doing quite well in our unique environment. And the way I say that, if you're measuring it off a balance sheet, do we make money? The answer is no. Will we ever make money? Answer, no. Will we deliver a great service to our community in a highly effective way that's a great value to the taxpayer? The answer is yes. So it depends on what your idea of a win is. Given our unique service area, we're very confined and the only provider of 120,000 people. A large portion are economically challenged. Let's put it in a blunt way. We're a poor region. And a poor region, a hospital operating in that region struggles in any market to, quote, make money and be profitable. So our goal is to do three different things. We think that we should be highly efficient and use the money in a very wise way. We should do a great job collecting and making revenue. We need to collect every penny that's owed us. And if we can do some things to make some money in some areas, we should maximize those. And then with taxpayer support we should make sure that it's great value and the taxpayer gets what they pay for. So no one complains, well, we subsidized Hilo Medical Center for $30 million. Well, look what we got for it. That's our overall strategy, and we think that in our unique environment is not a strategy forever, at least for the near future.
So how much money has Hilo Medical Center been losing on an annual basis? Meaning, how much money then are you then asking the state legislature to provide for you?
For the East region, coming up in this fiscal year, we will get about 15 to 18% subsidy, or 15 to 18 cents on the dollar, which translates into about $40 million.
So meaning that you're losing $40 million a year?
Before subsidy, yes. To cover our costs, we cover about 85 cents on the dollar from the payments from our various insurance payers, from our patients themselves, and the state makes up the other 15 cents on the dollar.
Is the state actually doing that? Because it seems like the state legislature has not been all that willing sometimes to fund our island hospitals.
In the last few years, they've done a good job. There have been some years when we starved a bit, and there has been a couple years where we had to cut services. People ask me, are you guys going to privatize? Do you need another partner? Honestly, I think our board and my responsibility is to make the best decision for health care for the people we serve. And whether that's with the state or with a private partner one day in the future, I think we have to evaluate that constantly against who and how can we best meet the mission. Making money is not our mission. Pleasing politicians or even our unions is not our mission. Our mission is healthcare. Right now, I think we all believe that the way things have been going the last couple years have met the needs of this community. And right now, we don't see a reason to change that.
So when you spoke of a partner, I know that Kona Community Hospital CEO Jay Cruiser said their goal was to become attractive for a partner. I'm getting from you that you are not seeking a partner at this time. Do I understand that correctly?
You are correct.
We know that insurers don't always cover your costs. We know that probably the reimbursements to the hospital are not going to ever be sufficient. And it sounds like you feel, though, that your forward progress is such that you're pretty good with everything.
I think that's a complicated question. I don't anticipate the financial challenges to diminish. The money has to come from somewhere, obviously. If our large payers like Medicare and Medicaid dramatically reduce their payments, the situation could change dramatically. Do we know what's going to happen? I mean, depending on, you know, is Obamacare here today? Is Trump care tomorrow? Block grants for Medicaid, not block grants? There's a lot of uncertainty out there. I think, again, we have to focus on what we can control. We know we have to be efficient. We know we have to, in a very complex environment, make sure that we earn and collect every bit of the money. In other words, be good business people. But we also have to be realistic. It's not like we can go open some great new service line that's going to bring millions to the hospital. And I would also say I doubt any private organization can come in and, quote, tap a poor market and turn a big margin. I mean, let's just be honest. Healthcare is expensive. If you're going to meet the basic needs of a community in an environment that doesn't have a lot of economic resources, it becomes a public good and somebody has to pay for it. So I don't want to create a false sense that, you know, we're all sitting pretty. But I think given all our realities, I think that we're doing a good job and we have a good strategy. And I also believe that we're going to have to adapt as the healthcare market changes. And I really can only speak to the next couple of years.
As I walked around the hospital, I looked at all this new construction. How much is being spent right now to add the residency clinic, all the new equipment, the cardiac clinic, all the different things that you're doing? How much is being spent? Where'd that money come from, or where is it coming from?
Over the last few years, the state has been quite generous in its investment in what's known as capital improvement. And the state basically looks at many of its facilities, honestly, from rail to bus stations to airports to hospitals, and decides how much in bonds and long-term dollars are going to be raised, and we get a portion of that. And we've been fortunate over the last 3 or 4 years to get over $20 million worth of investment in keeping our facilities modern, in some cases renovating them, improving them. It takes a long time, especially on a neighbor island, to spend that money and to do large-scale projects. Usually between the time something's awarded, it usually takes a couple years to plan and spend and construct. We have a number of projects that are somewhere in that cycle. So I think that's great for our organization for healthcare because infrastructure is a big piece of what's needed to do a good job. And like I said, we're very appreciative of that investment. I will make a comment that in the nonprofit world, when a business, quote, turns a profit in a nonprofit, they take that margin or those dollars above their expenses and they plow it back into their infrastructure. And in general, an organization needs to make about 12 cents on the dollar. So for every dollar of expenses, they need to earn 112 cents to pay for their CIP. I think that would be very, very challenging in this market for any organization, I don't care how efficient, to be able to do that and still keep up our hospital. So for all those reasons, I think that our, I guess, partnership with the state has been a good one in the long term for the citizens of East Hawaii.
Dan, before we say aloha, I want to ask you about your board. Each of the HHSC regions was changed several years ago to where they have a local board, not fully governed just by Oahu. So talk a little bit about that.
Back in 2009, the legislature changed how HHSC was structured. Before, it was managed out of Oahu. And they decided to give it another shot where local communities, local regions could manage their healthcare facilities. That has been a game changer for Hilo because the hospital being governed, directed, managed, all those adjectives you want to use by local community members has required people like myself, our whole team, to focus on what's best for East Hawaii and focus on how do we deliver the best possible health care. If you think about the connectivity that local board members bring versus even the best of intention individuals that live several hundred miles away in an environment that is very metropolitan versus rural health care, the decisions can't help but be better. And we've seen the benefits of that over the last 10 years. Our board is highly engaged, and they're people that are recognizable in the community. They know the community. Like, for example, Puna is a big deal because people live in Puna, and they understand what's needed there firsthand, and that drives our decision-making here. I don't think it's an overstatement to say it's been revolutionary for our care here at the hospital by having community members own this hospital.
Who are the folks on your local board? Give us an example of either their functions or their names.
A local attorney here, now works for Helco, Jennifer Zelko Schluter. A gentleman named Joe Strutch, who used to work for Puna Geothermal, was very much involved there. Barry Taniguchi, the owner and a long-term icon for KTA. Doug Adams, who's basically an attorney, West Point grad, military guy, tied to the Shipman family here. We have Brenda Ho, who's been with Hospice of Hilo for years, was on our board for 7 years, was off a couple and came back again. Carol Van Camp, long-term member of our corporate board, also in realty, I think was instrumental with setting up Prince Kuhia Plaza, well-connected in our community. And of course, we have great representation from our physicians. We have three physicians on our board. Dr. Dan Belcher, who's been in the community for over 30 years, he's chair of our board today. Dr. John Urahara, long-term obstetrician, is on our board. And we also have Dr. Jerry Gray, who practiced in our emergency room for years and now has joined our board out of retirement. Ray Yamanaka has been on our board now for 3 or 4 years, works for, I think she's the island-wide rep for the Hawaii Teachers Association. Dennis Nutting, who is a airline pilot, former colonel, been in our community for quite a long time. Randy Kuhara, he was the managing director for the county with Billy Kanoi, longtime business owner. A longtime board member moved up to our corporate board, Wayne Kanimoto, who is a former principal here, also active with HSTA, is on our corporate board, and then Julie Tulang, who was, I think, County Parks and Rec Director, been associated with our foundation for years, and just a very sharp, impassioned community member. She's on our corporate board as well. And last but not least, Karen Pellegrin. She is a researcher with the College of Pharmacy, done great work with a number of grants, and just a super intelligent lady. We're glad to have her services as well.
Dan, is there anything else that you'd like to mention relative to the future of Hilo Medical Center?
We want to leverage technology. I think one of the most amazing things that are happening in our, in the larger environment, you know, in, in our, for lack of a better word, our civilization, is the interconnectivity that technology allows, from social media, the internet. Distance has become almost irrelevant. And I think that really applies when you're in a geographically isolated place, that if you use technology, you're able to tap into the world's resources. And telehealth is an area that's evolving, a legislation to allow that to occur, for us to bill and treat that almost like a face-to-face interaction, really opens up all of the healthcare that's out there on the mainland, and even in places outside the mainland, to bring that expertise here in a real-time way. And if you do it well, it's almost the same as you and I talking. And I know people have talked about that a lot, but that's gotten some legs and some steam. And I'd really like it where anyone in our community can have an appointment with almost any type of doctor anywhere in their community via technology, and they think of it as no different than today when we FaceTime somebody on our phone. You remember when phones used to, that space phone where somebody could do the phone on their watch, and we're going like, ooh, you know, now no one thinks of that anymore. My kid, one of her best friends lives in England. She met on a robotics trip, and they chat like you and I are talking on their phones, seeing each other, irrespective of the 8,000 miles apart. And I think we need to use that technology and that type of thinking to change how we deliver healthcare. So we're excited about doing that here.
Of course, you indicated that you don't believe that having a partner is necessary for Hilo Medical Center future. Does that preclude your being able to have that kind of relationship with other medical institutions or other medical professionals?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I don't at all want to rule out partnerships for the future that improve healthcare in our community. And remember, I emphasize that the healthcare mission comes first. And absolutely, there could come a time in the future where we, the state as a whole, we need partnerships. We need that expertise in technology, or even that investment, because it's changing so rapidly. And when I say I only can see out a couple years, that's really the truth. I only can. So that can be in our future, just like we were able to bring expertise perhaps to Puna Community Medical Center. I can see that we might need some of that ourselves. But right now we have a good plate of work in front of us, and we intend to get through it and keep an open mind for the future.
Dan Brinkman, are you doing anything now relative to partnerships that you want to mention?
The short answer is yes. You know, our board actually put that in our strategic plan, that we would focus on looking at local partnerships, ways to leverage our healthcare resources that we have in our community, like working with the East Hawaii Independent Physicians Association. We are part of an organization called Community First. It looks to improve the overall health of the community. I know we've talked about that in the past. They're helping us develop ways where we can take some of our community resources as well as the medical resources and put them together to manage patients like our complex homeless patients, or even patients who have caregivers but have a very complex set of problems that we all need to rally around. So we're excited about those types of partnerships internally to our community that really set us up, I think, to do a better job delivering healthcare.
Dan Brinkman, this has been a very fascinating conversation. When you just spoke about partnerships, I've always thought about partnerships for hospitals being something like what has happened at North Hawaii Community Hospital. They were purchased by Queens Medical Center. And when we talked with Jay Cruiser at Kona Community Hospital, he said they wanted to be attractive to a partner that would clearly be maybe not a purchase, but certainly closer. But you've sort of expanded my thinking relative to partnerships, that you don't have to actually be purchased by somebody, that you can still, you, Hilo Medical Center, can still form partnerships as needed to provide better health care, but still maintain your individual identity as Hilo Medical Center.
You hit on very much a strategy that is another, I guess, modality or method to work outside of your, I guess, immediate expertise and bring in others without, for lack of a better word, getting married. Also, when you start those relationships, sometimes they can grow into something larger, or you can scale them to what your needs are. And bottom line, our board realizes that with healthcare changing as rapidly as it is, we need to keep an open mind to everything that would improve, again, the mission, because we are very laser on the mission that we need to focus on what's best for healthcare for our East Hawaii region.
Dan Brinkman, Hilo Medical Center, thank you so much for your time. Aloha.
Aloha, Sherry.
And with that, we conclude 6 episodes of Island Issues, which have focused on healthcare on Hawaii Island as given through our hospitals. Today, we talked with Dan Brinkman, Hilo Medical Center. You may check our podcast site for interviews with the CEOs of other island hospitals, lava1053.com and koacountry1077.com. This is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next Sunday for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Island's Mahalo Multimedia.